Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we are busy as sports begin to return. And we're starting to get some sense of who's actually going to be playing sports here and in South Bend, I guess. Because one of Chicago's teams is letting us know the early iteration of their roster. We are going to talk with Mark Schanowski, because the Bulls are continuing to fly under the radar, and it makes me wonder what may be going on behind the scenes as all of this due diligence is getting done. The NBA getting ready to head to the bubble, and the Bulls are, we think, doing something. We hope. We don't know. We'll figure that out and maybe handicap what we think is going to happen in the NBA with Mark, who has got strong thoughts on all of it. That's at 10 o'clock. At 10:20, Dan Zimborski, the senior writer for Fangraphs, will tell us about how he thinks MLB is going to shape up. And as we start to look at some of the machinations of team construction here, now in a new-look league with the NL thinking about the way they play offense, certainly differently, we're going to see how teams may be gaming the system. Midday Midway, we'll do a sportsy version of that because there's so many things from the weekend to do. Fun stuff at 10:40. Matt Spiegel is going to join us to check in at 11:40. And I have to say, I don't know quite how to preview this, but at 11, we are going to do something that it's a crowdsource idea that I just thought it would be timely to do as sports come back. And I think there's two ways we can do it. We can do it seriously and we can do it in a very silly fashion. And my hope is we can do both. I think if we manage this properly at 11, we're going to be able to do something both interesting and fun, a little crowdsourced thing that I think we can do that is sports related. And that's all I'm going to tell you. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com, and that's where you listen to us live. We are streaming at 670thescore.com. You can send a text also to the text zone. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. You text the same number you call, 312-644-6767. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. I am at Dan_Bernstein. And don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices and interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. The man on the board doing what he does is the executioner, Ray Diaz. I hope everybody had a lovely weekend and you're able to get outside a little bit and breathe some fresh air and take in all of the fireworks everywhere. What the hell, man? I mean, I know people like blowing stuff up, and I don't know my... part of my thinking was maybe if municipalities aren't gathering people to have large fireworks celebrations, that maybe some of the fireworks are ending up in other people's hands and it's just sort of trickling down. But it was everywhere yesterday. I mean, I know the 4th is coming up, but it's like it started already. We were on the golf course yesterday, and for the first time in a while, I wasn't completely awful. Like, I was playing representative golf. And still, it's like every time you're in your backswing, somebody's lighting a firecracker somewhere outside the park or one of the houses around the course. It's just like, yo, relax, take it easy, man. So we've got names, we've got rosters, and we have, frankly, unbelievably confusing rules about how baseball is handling this. My head is spinning. And it's already, we know, really arcane stuff when we start talking about baseball and roster rules and the number of people in an organization who have to know the ins and outs of every last bit of every possible roster list. When we start talking about 40-man roster, non-roster free agents, what it means to designate for assignment, to be optioned, to be outrighted, the waiver process, everything that's involved with any number of deadlines. Now, there's an entirely new set of layers of rules over all of this, but we are in currently what is the player pool for what they're calling summer camp, which is really kind of adorable. When you say it's time for summer camp, that means they have their shirts and they're sitting around the campfire and they can have their weenie roast and they can have the three-legged race and everything that they might do. But it's kind of cute that it's not spring training, it's summer camp. So off they go to summer camp. And there is a Wrigley Field summer camp roster of 39 players. There is a South Bend summer camp roster of 11 players, and players can be shuttled from one to the other as needed. But for some reason, and I'm still trying to figure out what advantage they have here, because obviously this is it's a living list here. There's going to be movement. They've kept 10 spots completely open. You can have 60 guys total. There's 39 at Wrigley and 11, which adds up to 50. I'm not good at math, but I can do that. And it seems to me that the Cubs are keeping some flexibility here for some reason. And at some point this morning, I look forward to having the White Sox list. We don't have that information yet to see how they're doing it. But we're trying to glean information from teams as to whether or not they're gearing up to make a run at 2020. Or whether or not they're going to hold back some of the service time, perhaps, and not start clocks on some of their top prospects and wait for a better opportunity to unleash some of their young talent. There's any way you can really game this. But there's still, and I did not know this until I read what Ken Rosenthal wrote on The Athletic, that there is still ongoing negotiation between the players and MLB, between the union and MLB, as to how they're handling so many of these extra roster rules, service time, et cetera, and options and vesting roster bonuses, et cetera. And a lot of this is beyond my pay grade when you really have to be a certified public accountant to figure out some of the stuff. And I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here, but there was an interesting detail because of John Lester's contract. And what Rosenthal writes in The Athletic here, he said the league might not agree to reduce amounts of vesting options for 2021 because the options might be prorated. And here's an example. It says Cubs left-hander John Lester would be the first player in major league history with a buyout, which is $10 million, that would exceed his now prorated vesting option. It was $25 million. It's now down to $9.25 million proration. So his buyout is actually, it would cost more to buy him out than it would to keep him around if he vests. The option would serve as a disincentive rather than the incentive for which it's intended. And the league effectively would be changing previously negotiated contract language between a player and his club. Now, he does in this story suggest that it's optimistic that he does think that all of this stuff eventually between players and owners is going to get ironed out. But Andrew Miller has been involved in the negotiations, and he's somebody who has certain minimums that he has to reach to vest to a much higher salary number. He gets a bonus depending on certain incentives and games pitch, and now all of that has to be renegotiated because over a 60-game season, it's going to be impossible to do. Now, I don't know exactly how the schedule is going to look either, but I have some guesses just based on some people that I'm talking to about how they're going to do everything. It's going to be – this is sort of one of these seasons where all politics is going to be local. And we are going to have a lot of – they want to limit travel. They want to keep things largely within divisional play. And my guess would be that even in the interleague stuff, it's going to be mostly local rivalries for a lot of reasons. I mean, that's really in the best interest of everybody to keep it that way. But this is going to be – there's going to be some local, tightly fought stuff. And by the way, I'm loving some of these texts coming and just talking about what's going on with the fireworks. The 708 says, my poor beagle has hated the last few days because of fireworks. The 847 says, I live next to the lake. Usually it's insane around this time of year. It's a nonstop fireworks. And he said, but this year it's much less. 630 says, fireworks going off for 2 weeks in my neighborhood. Yeah, it's just been sort of all, yesterday was kind of all throughout the day, just hearing, it's like the scene in Boogie Nights when they're going to try to steal the money from Alfred Molina, the drug dealer, that incredibly tense scene when they're freebasing and Night Ranger is playing and there's the little Asian guy in the back who's just walking around randomly throwing firecrackers. That's what it felt like on the golf course yesterday, without the freebasing, of course, because, you know, a regular golf game, you know, a couple of White Claws maybe here and there, but we don't usually freebase cocaine while golfing, although with my game it probably wouldn't have much of an effect, and maybe at this point it would be a net positive. But when the cart comes around, you know, are you asking for a White Claw or are you asking for crack? At this point, the way things are going, and I just getting my ass kicked by my kid, it's over now. It's over. It's that impending feeling of doom, knowing it's just absolutely over. But we are looking forward to baseball returning and to seeing all these names on this list. You know, you got to reacquaint yourself. You're going to have to remember who all these guys are on your Cubs pitching staff and who your high leverage pitchers are that you haven't really familiarized yourself with yet, whether it's Jeremy Jeffress or the Wick brothers, you know, Rowan and Brad, Dan Winkler is here, Casey Sadler, Ryan, is it Tepper or Tepera? He's here. That there's names here that are going to be new and different. And then you see somebody like this P.J. Higgins, the catcher, just pops up out of nowhere. We knew Josh Fegley was going to be probably the third catcher, the practice, or what do they call it, taxi squad, that on road trips, in case people come, when they people come down, I'm not going to say in case, because it's obvious that they're going to have all kinds of cases of COVID affect teams, and that's why they're having a traveling taxi squad, so people don't have to fly commercial when somebody inevitably has to go into quarantine. People are going to be immediately available there. The other name that is on their Wrigley list is Ian Miller, and he's wearing number 79, which is usually not a good sign for a prospective major league player in training camp, or in this case summer camp. But Ian Miller is one of these little speedy guys, and we know that Theo and Jed like the idea of a little speedy guy, especially with an expanded roster. We saw it with Terrence Gore, who really didn't ever need to have a bat. He did get a hit as a Cub. I remember, a little bouncer through the middle. He did get a hit. But Terrence Gore, who was like the Herb Washington of his era, professional pinch runner. And this is something we can talk to Dan Zimborski about also at 10:20, of how the little speedy guy, how the base runner guy now can matter more because extra innings are starting with somebody on second base. Do you make that move? Maybe if you're in the bottom and you're able to get out of the top without somebody scoring, you don't need to hold serve and you get a chance to win the game, that you have that guy there. So it could be that they have their Terrence Gore in this guy Ian Miller, who's kind of a I don't know, for lack of a better term, probably a Tony Campana type figure. That would be the guy who's just sort of your just little speed, no-hit guy. And according to the Scores' Bruce Levine, he says the White Sox roster should be out this morning. And if and when we have it, obviously we'll dive deep into it and to see. You can get a general sense, depending on where they are. And where's the White Sox alternate training site? I know that obviously they have a little bit more room at guaranteed rate than maybe the Cubs do in and around with Wrigley Field facilities and stuff. They can spread out a little bit more. But the have they announced where that secondary facility is going to be? Are they using – they could use Granderson over at UIC because that's they've got you know indoor and outdoor possibilities there. But we're trying to identify the extent to which a team is going for it by how they distribute their roster resources at this point in the year. And while we talk White Sox, we should mention that shortly after we got off the air on Friday is when Lucas Giolito met with reporters. And he is so interesting and so smart and so aware, not just of his own game, but everything that's going on, that I thought it would be worth going back and taking a listen to much of what he had to say about the restart of the season, about the significance of his performance last year, about where he is and how he's getting ready, and what he's going to mean for a White Sox team with real aspirations this year. So one of the bright lights in Chicago baseball is the guy you're going to hear from next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You're listening to The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Red hot Lucas Giolito on for his 12th start. He's 8-1.
Fourth straight strikeout for Giolito. Swing and a miss. Back to back with the changeup. Strikeout number 7. He lights up Gore, and it's a new career high for the ultra-confident Californian Lucas Giolito. 7 2/3, 3 hits. 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. Brilliance again from Lucas Giolito.
The ultra-confident Californian. I like it. That is a lot of syllables from our guy Jason Benetti talking about Lucas Giolito, who came on so strongly last year from going from one of the worst starters in baseball the year before to one of the best. By the numbers, he was as close to from worst to first as could be imagined. Made a couple of subtle changes. He worked with James McCann, and he got his McCann-icks all set to the point where he was really effective. And ditching the sinker made a big difference for him. This segment is brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. At 8 p.m., Chicagoans come out to salute essential workers during their shift change. At 8 a.m., Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care opens to keep Chicagoans' transmissions shifting right. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO or search AAMCO for a location near you. I apologize if I sound a little rattled at the moment. My heart rate really just it went up shortly before we came back from break. My makeshift studio here is in our little sort of TV viewing sitting area off the master bedroom. Wait, I'm not allowed to say that anymore, right? Didn't we cancel master in like real estate listings and all that? You're not allowed to say like master bed, master bath, because apparently that I forgot what term we're using to replace that, because I'm serious that I've saw that there are places that are not using that anymore because it has overtones of slavery. Anyway, the main bedroom, our bedroom, where the owners of the house live, however you want to call it. There's a deck here on the back that's just a little porch. And my wife likes to sit out there and have morning coffee and read the paper and do whatever she does. I didn't know she was out there. I was downstairs. I thought she was in the basement. I thought she was on the Peloton bike. And I had assumed that, and I baked that in. And then all of a sudden, I see the door handle turning and somebody coming in off the patio. Like, ah! I was completely freaked out because I was certain that she was downstairs working out because she came down in her workout clothes. And she almost never comes down in her workout clothes without then descending another story and going down to the bike. Whew, that totally wigged me out. So I'm still recovering from that, waiting for my heart rate to drop. Okay. Anyway, that the Lucas Giolito highlight. We thank NBC Sports Chicago for that. Lucas Giolito is always fascinating, and of course, part of one of the great high school staffs of all time. He, Max Fried, and Jack Flaherty all pitched for the same high school, all succeeding in the major leagues. Unbelievably rare. And he on Friday was asked about his overall level of concern playing amid a pandemic with all of these extra health guidelines.
I'm not too concerned with, as far as my own personal concerns, with COVID kind of back on the rise, it seems, in a lot of states. It's going to be imperative that us as players do everything we can away from the field to, practice social distancing, stay safe, not, expose ourselves to any risk at all, in the sense of like going out somewhere or being around a lot of people. I just think that we're all going to have to come together and maybe even have a conversation about it and be like, hey, if we want to get through this whole season, not have to worry about this as a team, then we're really going to have to hunker down when it comes to away from the field stuff, because at least I don't know everything about the on-field protocols in the clubhouse protocols, but it does seem rather comprehensive while we're there. So it's just about what we're doing away.
Which is smart from him. And again, he's aware enough to see and to be able to read where the current spread is occurring in some of these southern and western states that relaxed when they did. It's why they've gone back and shut down bars and some restaurants again, change the capacity maximums for restaurants. It's spreading in bars. It's spreading very, very quickly with young people packed into bars. And if you looked at, again, we saw the beaches, at least when people are packed into beaches or people are tubing in rivers. And I didn't know this in Texas. My experience with tubing in a river was actually going down the river, like being in like rapids, or it wasn't like going into an area, like a slack area of water, and just sitting there with a wet ass and a beer in my hand. Like my experience, I love tubing, but you're actually in moving water the whole time. Apparently in Texas, you just go and you sit and then you kind of hang out and you're basically in a bar, but you're outside and your ass is wet. So I guess that's a Texas thing, but I think that's smart on Lucas Giolito's part to understand that as a team, they need to make a pledge to each other. It can't just be a sign. It can't just be Ricky Renteria saying, hey, guys, this is what I expect of you. They've got to care not just about each other, but also about public health. And then there's the expectations for what kind of physical conditioning they're all in, because this is going to be a short summer camp, as they're calling it, and then into the season you go.
60-game season, it's more of a sprint than a marathon. I think that though the setup of the year kind of puts us in a good spot. I mean, we get off to a hot start. We have a very talented team. If guys get hot and we're playing well, then that could put us right over the edge, get us into the playoff picture, right where we want to be. That was pretty much the goal anyways, if we had a regular length season, but we have the talent. It's just a matter of us coming together, and especially with a shorter year, taking every single game we play seriously and committing to excellence. I think that we have a very good chance. Speaking for myself, I'm in very good pitching shape. I on a pretty much a weekly basis, I'm getting a couple bullpens in, a live bullpen facing hitters out here in Sacramento. And I'm right now at like a at like a up and down three times kind of shape, I guess you could say, where I'm simulating three innings, even extending the innings out sometimes just to get the pitch count up, and taking care of all my other business as well, whether that be lifting at home or in a facility, physical therapy work. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get there, obviously get tested, make sure everything's safe, and then continue to build up to so I can be in a position to throw a lot more innings. And then speaking with other guys on the team, especially other starting pitchers, they seem to all be in that same kind of area. So we're pretty much ready to get there and build up a little bit more, and then we'll be ready for the full workload.
I think I heard correctly a commitment to excellence reference in there. Commitment to excellence. Getting some musky fishing in there as he is trying to stay healthy and get himself ready for game action. But he's got a plan, and I think there's a little bit more to it than that, because Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine followed up and asked him about more detail on some of these simulated pitching sessions.
It's with cleats on. I'm throwing outside, facing hitters, facing a bunch of hitters around the area, whether that be, you know, high school prospects, junior college players, independent league players, some minor league players as well. And just last Saturday, I had Andrew Vaughn come out because he lives about 2 hours south. And I had him mix in pretty much every other at bat. And that was a lot of fun. He's a very, very good hitter. I'm looking forward to when he comes up with us, professional hitter. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, the actual pitch range, yeah, probably what around what you said. I'm like, I'm trying to get my innings at, in like the 15 to 20 pitch range, obviously going through my entire warm-up routine. So that's pretty much where I'm at. Obviously been communicating that with Coop and Hass, and we're going to have a program going forward.
This is Lucas Giolito talking about his preparation for the resumption of the MLB season, a 60-game season. How cool for those other players, too. He said high school prospects. How much fun would that be to say, hell yeah, I'll come see the top of the line major league pitching? And what a terrific experience it's got to be for some of those kids to be able to do that. So that's pretty sweet. I imagine there are probably some guys from his high school considering how they produce talent. But that's got to be really fun. Also, some of these other players that are not being included in the resumption of the season and not going to have their minor league season, there are unsigned guys. They're going to be independent players. He mentioned independent league players. Apparently in Nashville, they want to convene a pool of extra players, unsigned players, available to any and all MLB team. They think that they can actually have them playing games at the Nashville Sounds Stadium and have maybe as many as 60 guys just ready to go in shape playing baseball. If there is widespread attrition, being able to have some sort of replacement level role on one of these teams outside of their own secondary summer camp group. So that's something to watch as well. Giolito was also asked if he's upset now that he's not going to be able to hit in National League parks, and that got him into talking about the implementation of some of the other new rules as well.
Yes, I am very upset about that, just for selfish reasons. I have a longtime bet with a buddy that I would hit a big league home run within like my first three or four seasons or something, and it's looking like that I might be losing that bet. But as far as all the other rules, I honestly like have not really looked into them too much. So the extra inning rule, I don't really know what you're talking about. The wet rag rule, I don't really know what you're talking about. So I'm gonna have to take a look at this rule book and make sure that I can, you know, commit to these things. You know, one thing that I am doing like during my live bullpens and stuff is like really trying to not like lick my fingers and spit and those kinds of things, which is very tough because it's almost like second nature if you're that kind of guy as when you compete. So there's definitely going to be some things that we have to make adjustments for. But at the end of the day, it's all for the greater good. It's so that we can stay safe. So I'm gonna have to start practicing for sure and start reading up on those rules.
Well, that is the wet rag rule, because you're not allowed to go to your mouth. You're not allowed to spit in your fingers. You're not allowed to spit at all, apparently. So you get a wet rag in your pocket, and I assume it can only be moistened with water, not with some other substance or some grippy substance or a slippery one to allow you to throw a type of spitball. Really, the only advantage we know the guys gain is with increasing their grip to improve their spin rate. The Trevor Bauer experiment that he did famously right in front of everybody and said, watch my spin rates and then watch when they drop off. And he was showing what he was doing, exposing what so many pitchers were doing, Astros, to improve their spin rate artificially. And that's, I don't know if guys are going to be able to game that by putting extra stuff on the rag, or if they're going to be checking the rag and testing it to make sure that their, whatever their little moistener is within the bounds of legality. And of course, the extra inning rule is the fact that every inning after nine is going to start with a runner on second base to try to get games shortened. Giolito was also asked about balancing the desire to win with continued development, and also how this is going to all work with players' families and who's going to be where, because there's so many logistical concerns here that everybody's trying to figure out.
For me, the development never stops. Like, you know, I have two full seasons in the big leagues. I am not even close to where I want to be as like a complete product, I guess you could say, as a pitcher. And I don't think I ever will be. I'm always going to be trying to develop something, always going to be trying to work on something until the day I retire. For me, it's like any given season, you're going to have everybody trying to develop better skills, especially younger players that are, you know, new to the experience, you know, not used to how a big league season works. Obviously, this is going to be a lot different than a normal big league season for some of these guys. But at the same time, we are showing up to the field ready to compete every single day. That is a transition from the minor leagues where, yes, you're competing, but it's about development. This is winning first and development second, I guess you could say. You know, we want everybody to be to get better and better and hone in their skill set for the future. But at the same time, why even play if you're not there to win? So I guess that answers the first part. And the second part, my wife will not be traveling with me like right in the beginning. She's got a lot of stuff going on here. She's doing a lot of work. I'm sure you guys see like the kittens running around that we're fostering. So she's, you know, still working in the hospital every day. Her being in the medical field, like traveling and being around me when I am kind of putting myself at risk is not really encouraged, I guess you could say. But I do get the feeling, just talking with guys, that a lot of families will be traveling out there. It's just that with the rules about no one allowed at the games, it's going to be tough on some people, I think.
White Sox ace Lucas Giolito getting ready to restart the baseball season. We should have the White Sox roster of some kind, some way, shape, or form, with their regular summer camp and then their alternate summer camp for prospects. Should have that list sometime this morning, and look forward to jumping into that when we get all that information. But we had some football news break over the weekend, with the New England Patriots being fined for some malfeasance and also signing a former MVP to compete to be their starting quarterback. It also throws the Bears quarterback decision into a different light, perhaps. To talk about all of that, Hub Arkish will join us next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You are listening to The Score.
Like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Dan Bernstein on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I have to be better. No matter what physical condition I'm in, no matter what foot, shoulder, I ain't get the job done tonight, man, and it's frustrating. I wish I could say something other than that, but you know that's the facts. And you know I'm an extremely brutally honest person, you know, with people, and I'm extremely brutally honest with myself. And I got it's time for me to look myself in the mirror and, you know, do some real soul searching, because I had opportunities tonight and I didn't get it done.
That's Cam Newton in his final start as a Carolina Panther. He is now a New England Patriot, and it'll be interesting to see what Josh McDaniels does with whatever is left of the resources of this former MVP. Here to talk football is Hub Arkish. He is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Hub. How you been?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Good. And some news over the weekend. Let's start with the acquisition of Cam Newton by the New England Patriots. And it appears that they really, for a long time, were the only team that was still kind of kicking the idea around. What led to this decision, and what does this mean?
Well, it's kind of typical New England Patriot personnel. You know, they find guys that have been great athletes, great players, but don't necessarily fit or maybe on the downside of their career, and they bring them in and they make them contributors to championships and playoffs. And in this case, you've got a guy who just 5 years ago was the most valuable player in the league and is only 31 years old and, you know, has not taken much of a beating the last couple of years because of the injuries. And a team, you know, I don't know about desperate for quarterback. They're going to try and sell that they believe in Jared Stidham. And maybe they should. There's no reason to knock the kid yet. But it really made perfect sense all along. The Patriots are very much up against the salary cap. And I think that this would have been done a month or two ago had Newton and his camp not been out shopping for a much better deal. Because basically what he got, it's not the veteran minimum, obviously, but it's not what a former MVP would expect. And he is in very much a prove-it contract type year. And I think what the Patriots are betting on is that if this works out, they'll find a way to get him re-signed, because he's not a perfect fit for everybody. And you know, the Patriots are going to find ways to take advantage of his best abilities.
It seems that there's some divergent thoughts about where he is physically at this point because of the pounding that he's taken, the number of tackles that he's broken, the number of tackles that he's endured. Even though he's always had a frame that people thought could absorb it, generally, a quarterback getting hit isn't a good thing over time, and he's been hit a lot.
Well, and Dan, this is the old argument against running quarterbacks. I mean, he's rushed for over 4,800 yards, and so... This is a guy who has run far more than most. This is why people look at a player like a Lamar Jackson, and question not how good he is, but how long he can play at that level. And there's no question that playing the style of football that Newton and Jackson and some of the other more mobile quarterbacks do, they're going to have a shorter half-life on their careers, and that's part of the issue. Now, as far as where he's at right now, he had serious shoulder and foot injuries and surgeries. The shoulder goes back a couple years and allegedly was completely healed when he got injured early last year with the foot injury. He's now had surgery on that. And I've confirmed with, you know, several of my sources, not that I needed to, there's multiple reports out there, that there was a physical in late March and that he was cleared in both areas, and at least the shoulder and the foot injuries are 100% healthy. So as far as any injury beyond that, as I pointed out, he hasn't played as much the last couple of years and, you know, should be in a position where he's rehabbed the body. So there's nothing to protect him from getting hurt again as long as he plays that style of football. But it does appear that he's 100% healthy right now. And now you're back to that 6'5", 230-pound remarkable athlete. I do have to add, because I've never been the biggest Cam Newton fan for a couple of reasons, but one, he's never been a great NFL passer. He's a great athlete. He's got a great body. He's got a big enough arm. But when it comes to touch and field, he's not necessarily the guy you want. I don't think there's any problem with reading the defenses, with understanding the offense, with seeing what he wants to do. He's just not the greatest passer in the world.
This goes back to the Pro Football Weekly scouting report out of college. Remember when Nolan Naraki, who was chastised for, and I don't want to put words in his mouth here, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was essentially calling him kind of a phony, and when it came to being a team leader. And it was the language I remember was really strong. And we might look at it through a different lens now, perhaps, than we did then. But how much of your feelings about him were informed by that initial assessment that you received?
Well, you know, none of it had to do with what I just said about his ability as a passer. This gets into a different subject now. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, it's funny because Nolan, one of the best independent draft analysts ever, and this was probably his best scouting report because he absolutely nailed it. And you know, what he said, he questioned his character is the bottom line, with good cause. When you go back and read all of his history and his various travels around college football, the allegations against his father, you know, about seeking payments to get him to come to these colleges, and then the way that he behaved around teammates and in the locker room, and basically Nolan wrote it as he researched it. He was immediately accused of being racist, which was ridiculous. It had nothing to do with race. Obviously, Cam Newton is African-American, and we know that there's always been a question, unjustifiably, but there's always been a question about whether African-Americans could play quarterback. At that time, it was even more of a topic than it is today, and it had nothing to do with it. And so that's where the controversy came from. Everything that Nolan wrote questioning his character has proven to be true, you know, since he came out of school. And so I kind of smile about it now because nobody's coming back and saying, boy, we shouldn't have criticized him. He was right. People still remember that he said that, and people still occasionally will accuse him of it having to do with race, which it had nothing to do with.
How does this contract make you think differently, if at all, about the Bears giving up a fourth-round pick just for the opportunity to give Nick Foles $17 million guaranteed?
Well, I'd rather have Nick Foles than Cam Newton on the Bears. I know that, you know, as far as what Matt Nagy is trying to do with his offense and who I think is a better fit. You know, I know this is going to be another one. Let's go back just for a minute to Mike Glennon and all the heat that Ryan Pace takes from Mike Glennon. There was nothing wrong with the Mike Glennon signing. There was a number of teams that thought he might be able to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He was clearly brought in as a one-year bridge to Mitch Trubisky. The money they gave him was not outrageous since he was supposed to be the starting quarterback for the year. And yet we act like it was one of the greatest misses of all time. And so now people are going to try and, you know, pile on the Nick Foles signing. The fact is, Foles was not a free agent. The Jaguars took a much bigger beating on the trade than the Bears did because they had to eat about $30 million of dead cap space. And the price tag was a fourth-round pick for a guy they desperately wanted. Now, I know the Bears have done really good with fourth-round picks, but let's see what Nick Foles does for the Bears. So I just think that Foles is a much better fit than Newton would have been. The fact that he cost the fourth-round pick is the price of doing business. And I'm just not a big fan of jumping on these things until after these guys take the field. We see what you got for for what you paid.
Meanwhile, the other shoe has dropped from something that had been off our radar for a while. The Patriots fined $1.1 million, and they sacrifice a 2021 third-round pick as penalty for filming the Bengals sideline from the press box last year. Is this in line with precedent, or is this draconian?
You know, it's funny because I knew you weren't going to lead with it, but I thought we might get to it a little quicker only because there's already all kinds of columns be written that the only reason they signed Newton was to try and, you know, cover up or bury the news of the penalty and all the cheater claims and everything else that is coming. I think it's in line with precedent, Dan. I don't know if it's really fair, but the Patriots kind of passed on their right to fair, you know, a few years ago as this stuff started to pile up. In this particular case, all the evidence appears to be exactly what Belichick and Jonathan Kraft have said that it was, that they had a young man assigned to do something for TV production, and he screwed up, that the coaches, no one has found any evidence that they ever even looked at the film. But this was a case where they got credentialed to try and do a story. We now know, we see it with the Bears and whatever market you're in, that these in-house broadcast teams, these in-house networks have become prevalent all over the league, and they were doing a story on the life of a scout. And for some reason, the guy in the press box started filming what was down on the field. I'm not sure. I'm guessing that in his mind it was going to be B-roll. It was going to back up the story they were telling about this particular scout or the scouting group. But at the end of the day, the team that had already received the biggest fine in league history for illegal videoing got caught doing it again. So it feels a little excessive to me, but as you pointed out, it's in line with precedent. It's a second violation after a first one that was serious. And so I'm guessing that Roger Goodell felt he had no choice but to do something this severe.
And at the very least, they've clearly forfeited any benefit of any doubt at this point. And it's rich after all the stories, and let alone what's actually made it into publication or made it to air. You and I both have talked to people around the league that always mention that, yeah, there's sometimes the headsets just go out in Foxborough at odd times. Yeah, there's so many things that have been associated and affiliated with them that they don't deserve sort of neutral treatment when it comes to something like this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Listen, as I said, all the evidence suggests that this time it was not premeditated or intentional. But when stuff like this piles up, at some point you got to own it. I know Belichick better than I think most media, going back to an old relationship, a mutual relationship. Bill Belichick is not a cheater. That's what people are going to call him, and that's what they're going to say. He will definitely push the boundaries. He will bend the rules. But he's not a cheater, and he's not stupid. Okay. And if you think about it, everybody's going to agree he's not stupid. And for him to have been involved in this after the first time that cost him, what, $500,000? Or I think it was $250,000 the team and $250,000 him personally. You know that this was not some master plan. But at the end of the day, no, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt on any of this, nor should they, because of the number of violations that have now piled up.
I was very pleased to hear what DeMaurice Smith, the head of the Players Association, had to say in rebuking Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, other quarterbacks that have been gathering players outside of the advised practices, and saying that you're not supposed to do this, don't do this. And essentially, he's coming at it from a collective bargaining perspective, saying you don't really help our leverage in any of these situations when you so obviously flout the rules. Even though so many people came to Tom Brady's defense and said, yeah, even though it's not good for public health, he just wants to win. He's just a winner. This just shows you what kind of winner he is, when you're thinking there are more important things he's supposed to be doing.
Well, anybody, for me, Dan, and you know, there, you won't find less of a DeMaurice Smith fan than I am. I think he's done a lot of damage to the players in his stewardship as the executive director. But in this particular case, he's obviously right. And my attitude is, anybody who's going to speak up about ways to limit the potential damage from this public health crisis and do the things that will eventually help us mitigate it even more, I couldn't agree with more. And I was a little shocked when we were on the phone a couple of weeks ago with Tariq Cohn. And I can't remember. I may have asked the question. I can't remember if I did or not. About whether they are taking precaution at these workouts and how he felt about it. And he said, well, I'm not too worried about it, and we're not really following all the rules. And Tariq's such a great kid. Nobody wanted to jump on him. I certainly didn't. But I was a little taken aback, and I would think some other maybe more experienced or maybe more mature team members, might have a wiser view of it. And it's good to hear Smith. Now, what bothers me about DeMaurice Smith is I think his focus was probably strictly on his leverage and his negotiating position. But this is the part that I've struggled to understand all along. It does look now like baseball is going to get started. We've said for months now that of the four major sports in this country, baseball is the one that a fair amount of it is played at social distance. So you could make a better argument for it. But I just don't understand how, especially now that we see these surges and spikes and, it's getting that much worse, any of these players in football and basketball and hockey would agree to play. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I know there's a lot of money at stake, but I'll take, my health and my life over money every day. And not everybody will, but some will. So we're still going to see how this is going to play out. And I think this is part of what Smith was positioning himself for there, because the owners can set up whatever they want. If players feel that their health and safety are being put at risk, some, I have to believe, are going to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the headline right now. Apparently, there was a testing site set up at Tropicana Field, and they closed within an hour. That they just they ran out of tests within an hour, and there's like a whole it's a drive up testing site, and they had to turn lines of cars away, just hundreds of people. It's Florida. It's got some issues that they're going to have to figure out, but you know that's where the NBA is going. They're deciding to go to one of the hot zip codes right now, and it's this balance hub of just deciding they're going to live with something, regardless of how smart it is. This is where we find ourselves.
Well, I mean, you've got the governor of that state falsely claiming that it's about a test dump. When forget the number of cases reported, the positivity rate. And the hospitalizations are going up, and that has nothing to do with the increased testing. So, right. You know, we don't even have intelligent people in some of these states making these decisions. So, you know, bringing it back to what we were talking about, it's just we all desperately want our sports, Dan. Nobody wants them more than I do, particularly the NFL, because that's how I make my living. But not at the expense of people's safety and well-being. And so... You know, hopefully we'll put our focus where it belongs. And so I couldn't agree with you more. It was good to hear Smith say something. I don't know what to say about Tom Brady at this point. The other night we're sitting here and Candace says to me, do you know that Tom Brady was rated one of the worst husbands in America? I was like, well, who did that rating? You know, and there's a lot of things about Tom Brady that may not be quite the icon that we want to believe.
Hub, thank you as always.
All right, take care, Dan.
That is Hub Arkish, our Bears and NFL expert. We will shift our attention to basketball. As previously mentioned, the NBA is going to try to go to one of the most coronavirus-infested counties in all of America, and it's one of the hot spots in the world right now, but they're going to convene their league there to play some regular season games and then start some playoffs. Meanwhile, the Bulls still have Jim Boylan as their head coach. As of right now, Jim Boylan is the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk NBA, we'll talk Bulls with Mark Schanowski straight ahead. He's coming up on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.